Hi, this is Jesse Liberty from Microsoft. Today we're going to be talking about data binding. Let's open up Expression Blend and create a form that we can bind some data to. We'll create a new project, name it Data Binding, and have that project come up in Blend. And the first thing we're going to do is we're going to create some rows and columns in the grid that is provided for you as the content panel. We can click in the margin and establish some grids. And through the magic of video, we jump ahead to having 6 rows and 2 columns. Let's use 3 text blocks to act as prompts. And the first data entry will be a text box. That'll be the user's name. If we expand the content panel, click on name, we can see the properties and the text property. If we click on the advanced options box, data binding, we can see that's bound to a property named name. That means the object we're binding to will have a property name, even though we don't know what that object is. In the second row, we're going to add a stack panel with 3 checkboxes, and below that, we're going to have a stack panel with 2 radio buttons, and you can see that each of these is going to allow us to fill in more data about the person, but we're binding to a person, and we're binding to the properties on that person. So let's save all of this and go over to Visual Studio and see how that work is done. And one of the first things we can do once Visual Studio settles down is let's go over to the XAML that we just created visually in Expression Blend and examine that XAML. And you can see the binding syntax. It's the keyword binding and then the name of the property. In the case of name, it's two-way, meaning that we're going to update from the UI. And here again, we see binding for height and binding for favorite. All of those properties are going to be presumed to exist on whatever object we're binding to. Let's go to the code behind for this. The first thing we want to handle is the loaded event. We'll hit tab and take the defaults. And in main page loaded, which is fired once the page is fully in place and fully loaded, as you would expect, we're going to be able to set the data context. We want to set the data context to the person who has all of the properties that we're binding to. So let's go down and create a method, set data context. We're going to need a person type in order to be able to set properties on a person. So we'll call a method here, generatePerson, to set the data context to whatever we get back from generatePerson. And in generatePerson, we're going to do the work of generating a new person. To do that, let's go up to data binding and add a new class to represent the person. First thing we're going to do in our class is add an enumeration for whether the person is male or female. Then we're going to add some public properties to this class, and these properties should look familiar. They are the properties to which we are binding in the XAML. And that's key. The way binding works is that you bind to public properties of an object. You declare which properties at design time, at compile time, and you declare which is the actual object that you're binding to at runtime. That allows you to select one object typically from a collection of objects and have the binding work so long as whatever object you select has all the public properties that you're binding to. We are now ready to return to generatePerson and create an instance of a new person. We're going to use a new feature in C# that allows us to initialize those fields, and that allows IntelliSense to come up and assist with doing so. We're going to set the beard to flip coin. Flip coin is a little method that we'll write that will use a randomizer. So let's go up and create a private member variable of type random. Now that we have random in place, we can ask random to choose a value between 1 and 2. And if that value is 1, it will come back and say false, and if it is 2, it'll come back and say true. So beard will now be set randomly to false or true. We do the same thing with whether this is a favorite person, whether this person has a goatee. will set the height to a string and use rand, that's our random object, to create a double, add 1 to that and format it as a height in meters. And then we're going to flip a coin on whether or not this person has a mustache. And finally, we're going to generate the name by randomly selecting from an array of first names and an array of last names. Let's come down and declare our array of first names, and we're actually using the generic list of string, but it's going to function just as an array does. We'll use an offset into this list. And then we're going to create a list of last names, also a list of string. These names were picked totally randomly. Let's save all of that. Build our application. We do want to remember to go back to generate person and return that new person as the return value. And we're now ready to build and run the application. The first time you run the emulator, as you may know, it takes a while for it to load, which is why we don't close the emulator in between debugging sessions. The application comes up and we see a name and the various checkboxes and radio buttons have been selected. The way that we can know that this is pulling in random information and then binding to that information is to go back to our person class where we're creating that person class and set a breakpoint. We can then hover over the new person and open it up and see what are we looking for here. It does have a beard, is a favorite, does not have a goatee, the height is 1.05 meters, the name is Sam Franklin, and male should be checked, as should mustache. Let's go finish running this and see if that's what we get. And sure enough, those are the values that are bound to in the UI. For Microsoft, this is Jesse Liberty. Thank you, and I look forward to talking with you again very soon.